Let me say a couple words about this wonderful family, then I'll pray and get out of the way, and then we'll start again tomorrow night at 7 for our normal service. But I just had the chance to spend the last 20-something days with their crazy son, Jim, and his family there in India, and they're doing a great work. I'll tell more about the trip in India on Sunday night. But just to talk about Jim and his love for his family, and they're going to get to go visit in October. There's a countdown calendar on their wall until they come. What do they call you guys? Bop Bop? Bop Bop and Nana. They got a countdown clock for Bop Bop and Nana coming. And the kids are so excited. But Jim has the greatest respect in the world for his dad. And when he counts it one of the greatest honors of his life to get to serve the Lord, but to get to serve him with serving with his dad. And they're very proud of the work that he's that they're doing over there. But Jim would just share the stories of how much his dad and mom loved him and never gave up on him. And you've heard some of them, and you'll get to hear more about them. But one of the things that really struck me is that Jim was saying, even up to, as much as he was loved and much as the gospel had been shared to him, just weeks up to coming before he became a Christian, he was just able to ignore it, that he just was out living in the things of the world. But at one point in his life, everything just changed. He got to a point where all the love that had been shown to him, he could no longer ignore it. And he said, that motivates me to pray for these people I work with in India, is to know that the greatest things that can be done can only be done when God works. And that's something that we'll hear in their life, that there's no recipe to see your children accept Christ, but you can give them in a loving environment and you can pray for them. And Jim says he knows that his family prayed for him. Of all the stories he could tell, it's the fact that they constantly prayed for him that really has changed his life. And he could say so much more. And I'm really glad that they're here. I've been looking forward to it. And I made sure that I was going to be back when they were teaching because I'm looking for it as well. I was joking, said it was good that we had our kids with us during the meal because it really motivates us to listen even more now because we're very much aware of our need there as our kids are running around. And he has plenty of material to talk about now, seeing Thatcher throwing barbecue across the room just a few minutes ago. But we're going to pray, and then I'll get out of the way as I pray. If you want to make your way up here, Brother Jim, and if you'll lead us tonight. Talking about parenting is heart work, and it's hard work, but it's also work of the heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for an opportunity to be here with a group of friends, a group of believers who know that you are the most important priority in life, that we are supposed to point our kids, our children to you. And so I'm thankful, Lord, not only for the guests that you've given us tonight to speak and teach, but the friends that you have given us all in here that says that parenting for your honor and glory is important. So I pray that you'll help us tonight, Lord, as we learn that we'll make application. And a result of the night, Lord, will be us following you in obedience, and it'll be for your glory and for the good of our children. Thank you for all the years that you have been training these parents and what they've learned during good times and the bad times. Thank you for what you've taught them through your word. And now I thank you for their willingness to share it with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would, if you've got your Bible with you, would you turn to Psalm 127? Psalm 127, my own son? Am I all right?
No. Let's work on that. Yep, the trend.
They're good. You got it.
They're good. Mark.
Oh, here we go. That's it. Maybe that's it.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to stay that way, right?
No.
Yeah. All right. Could you turn to Psalm 127, please? Psalm 127. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and pray that we can help y'all tonight, tomorrow night. The only claim that we have to doing it is if we've made every mistake that could possibly ever be made in raising children. I have, she has, we all have. And only by the help of God can we get done what God wants us to do. Psalm 127. The first verse says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman seeks, waketh, but in vain. Verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to read this. Hebrews chapter 12, probably around verse 5. We'll start. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. It says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, verse 9 says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Let me just introduce, that's my wife right there, prettiest woman in the room. That's my wife, seated right there. Been married 40-something years. We've got one boy named Jim. He's got two children. We've got a little girl named Tamara. She's 38. Am I right? She's 38. She's got three children. Jim, you know, Tamara married a man that was a logger by trade. She was raised in a preacher's home, and she told us she did not want to marry a preacher. So she didn't. She married a logger. And then God called him to preach, and she ended up married to a preacher. They're pastoring a church in Traverse Rest, South Carolina. I didn't lie when I said we made every mistake that can possibly be made with our children. Every one, we made them. That's the only thing I can think it would qualify us for this. Everybody, one thing I think you got to remember is everybody comes from different backgrounds. Everybody. My family raised me one way. My wife's family, it was another way. And we bring our backgrounds with us into a marriage. Like it or not. You say, well, I married her. Well, great. I'm glad you did. But her background was brought into the marriage. How you were raised affects how you raise your children. Now, this is true, the Word of God. You say, preacher, it's old-fashioned. No, it's on time. This is true. I mean, I may be wrong, everybody else may be wrong, but this Bible is so. I can trust it to raise my children. Now, don't be offended when I say this, but when we bring those little barbarians home with us, babies, they can't feed themselves, they can't wipe themselves. They must be trained to do everything there is. But God did not create the family to disintegrate. God created the family that it would be to God's glory. But the only way it'll happen is that we realize that we are in a battle, and the battle is inside the four walls of our house. And the only way I have any chance or opportunity of winning the battle is if I obey God's word in everything God says. Now, sometimes it's not easy to do exactly what God says with children. Sometimes it's not. So don't think I'm standing up here telling you that this is all easy. It's all, you know, just piece of cake. It is for me. Mine's raised. You know, I got grandchildren. Glory to God. I didn't hire on to whip them or do anything else. I just love them, give them anything they want, and send them home with Jim and Tamara. Harvard Law School did a study about delinquent children. Less likely children to be delinquent had a father's discipline that was firm and fair and consistent. There was a mother's supervision and companionship during the day. There was a mutual love between mom and dad. They loved each other. And families spent time together. Now, some of the principles in the Word of God are not that popular. But if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to have to do what this book says. A lot of kids go to schools, they hear this, they hear that, and they're taught that they're not much more than animals. But we're more than that. We were created in the image of God. We were. Now, there's no perfect parents. There's not. There's no perfect children. Mine weren't, and I doubt yours are. They may be. But I doubt it. Your children know you're not perfect. All they're after is that dad and mom will be genuine and real. They just want you to be you. That's all they're after. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's only God's grace that you survive parenthood. It's only God's grace. You can ask Miss Betty. It's just the good grace of God that you survive being a parent. There was days I thought I never would get out of it. It would be easier if our Heavenly Father would tattoo instructions on the backside of all our children and you could turn it over and it would say, instructions. This is all I've got. But this is all I need. God gave us this. Now, I want to start out with success in being a parent. We want to start out. She's going to help me. But I want to start out with discipline. Discipline. It is a required responsibility of the family to discipline our children. Let me give you some scripture. Proverbs 19:18. Says, chasten thy son, of course that's daughter too, while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, if you're going to spank, whip, whatever you want to call it, they're going to scream their head off. And if you're kind and gentle and stop, they'll recognize, hot dog, all I gotta do is squall, and dad's gonna stop. You know, that's what that verse is saying. Now, chasten in the Bible, chasten, corrected, chasteneth, or correct, means to discipline or to punish. The verses I read in Hebrews 12 are corrective punishment, instruction by chastisement. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That foolishness is sin. That's what it is. The Bible says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now that rod, I'll look that up. That rod means a shepherd's staff. It'll curb a sinful nature. But we'll read a verse in a minute. If that sinful nature is not curbed as a child, that sinful nature of a child left to himself, that nature will take over. It will take over. Proverbs 29:15, it says, and there's two in here, the rod and reproof. Giveth wisdom. And it does. But reproof and the rod. A child can learn from punishment. They'll learn your standards. They'll learn your code of behavior. They'll learn your requirement. And the option is they learn it or they suffer the punishment for it. They can learn that. I read two or three books last week that says children might not understand reason, but they understand one thing, pain. They do. I mean, I stood, when we first took, and I'm not being mean, I ain't talking about child abuse, I'm talking about spanking, whipping young'uns. When we first took Mile Creek Baptist Church, I stood in the parking lot. This is no lie. I stood in the parking lot of Mile Creek Baptist Church, watched a grown man and a grown woman with a little boy. Was he that high, Mama? How old was he? Two years old. I watched two grown people try to reason with a two-year-old boy how he ought to get in the car. I'm standing there thinking, whip his hind end and get him in the car. Why? You can't read. But they must be taught your standards, your direction, what you respect, because you're teaching them responsibility. And they need that, especially boys. Boys need to know there's actions and reactions for everything that happens, because they're going to be dads, they're going to be husbands, and they're going to be leaders. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. If you don't, he won't give you rest. Proverbs 23:13. Let me look at that. Proverbs 23, verse 13. It says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You may think he'll die. He'll want you to believe he's going to die any second. He shall not die. Verse 14, it's the best verse. Says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. That's what I was after. I didn't care if Jim screamed. I didn't care. Or Tamara. I did not want my children to die without God and go to hell. My daddy, my mother didn't either. That's why my dad whipped me every stinking time I needed it. And he had never read any parenting books. He had never been anywhere like you are now. He got out of the sixth grade of school, and that's it. But he did know how to do one thing real well. That word beat in Proverbs, it means to strike. It means to strike. In Hebrews where it said, scourgeth every son, and that's talking about God scourging us with the example of fathers doing their children. That word scourgeth means to whip. Responsibility is required. Then there's rules. Rules. Every family, your children need rules. They need rules. Now this may seem goofy to y'all. They need words about what words they can say. What's going to come out? What will you allow them to come out of their mouth? Now we at home, we had house words and outside house words. You do what you want to do. That's what we do. You know. And Jim's doing that too. Whether it's good or not, I don't know. That's just the way we done it. We had words they could say when it was us and words they didn't say when it wasn't us. But y'all just son, they need rules. They need to know what they can do. I've given a good example of a mistake we made. We was going to the beach one year. Jim had another idiot with him. So he's going down there. She said, all right, boys, anything's in the Bible, y'all can say it. Don't ever do that. I'll leave y'all to guess what we heard for 7 days. Y'all decide. That's mistakes we made. mean, I'm the head of the house. I could have told him to hush any time. Words. You need to have rules on dating way before she gets old enough. Y'all need to decide, is that a boy or a girl? Girl, need to know now. What time is that little baby going to date? Figure it out. Now, the dates are up, the year's up to y'all. You need to have words, dates, places. Where are you going? Where will you allow them to go? Where? How long are they going to stay once they get there? Make it now. It's too late when they're 16 years old to start discussing where they're going. Then you need to know who they're going with. So make rules. And then have restrictions. You see, well, I'm not going to have any restrictions. I want my child to know that I love my child and I want to do this. No. Without restrictions, a failure to have restrictions is telling them you don't give a rip what they do. I don't care. They need limitations. They need restrictions. They need to know there's some things they can't do. Because, see, children grow up, and the older they get, they want independence. Especially boys. It's drilled in our head. We got to get out. Got to get on my own. Got to get a car. Got to drive. You know, shotgun. And I got to have a knife. And all this stuff. So they want independence, but they're not old enough for it. They're not. And when we put them in allow them to get in a situation where they're not old enough to make a decision, they're going to mess up. So we need to, they're not ready for independence and they have no idea what it's all about. They want to do it because Lucy does it. They want to do it because this other kid does it. This other girl does it. They want independence, they're not old enough, and they don't even know why. But can I throw this in? Don't be too loose, but on the other hand, don't be too strict. Don't. You'll warp them. You'll warp them. Really. Don't. And I'm all for being tight, but don't be too tight. Certain things that's most, 97% of boys gonna do. They are. I don't care if they're preachers, youngins or not. They will. So don't be too tight. Don't be too tight on girls. I tied her on my girl, know what, you know. But don't be too tight. Don't be too loose. And every battle ain't Armageddon. It's not. Every battle is not the Second World War. It ain't. I mean, when I knew Jim was smoking, I didn't have a heart attack. In my mind, I figured he would. You know, if my daughter had done it, I probably had a heart attack, maybe. But pick your battles. You want to say something, Mom? Go ahead. You got something on your mind? There it is, Robert. There you go, son. Thank you.
Oh, I think all of us have a plan in our minds with our children. We want them to, we pray for them before they were born. We start praying for them. I started praying for a mate for my children just as soon as I found out I was pregnant. And Betty and I had our children back in the dark ages when we didn't know the sex of the child until it was born. I know y'all can't imagine that, but that really happened. And I prayed for the mate, that God would prepare a mate for my child then. Jim's talking about discipline. When do you start discipline? That may be in the mind of a lot of people. How old do you think that a child should be when you start to discipline them? Right now we have a 9-month-old grandbaby. Okay. Okay.
There we go.
She's got the whole family wrapped around her finger. Our daughter is 38, and she lost five babies, so she had prayed 7 years. So, you know, already she is in control. Children are come here with that spirit. They are born in sin. And I used to think that Jim especially would just lay in the bed and try to think of ways that he was going to torment me the next day. Now, a lot of you moms can certainly think that you understand that completely, because your children will do everything they can in their power to overpower you. And nothing is sadder to see than children who are running the house. We're living in that day. We're living in the day that animals get more attention than children. We were missionaries in Scotland for 8 years, and we saw that children were left outside of pubs and dogs were taken in. And now we're living in it here as well. But I want to tell you that children, they need love. They need you to model that love, and they need discipline. And if you don't do it, you are going to do exactly what God's Word says. You're going to raise a child that will not respect you, and they will not respect any other adult, and they won't respect God. Now, I know that some of you are sitting here right now thinking, well, my children, they're so good, and they don't ever need a spanking. And yeah, sure. I don't believe that. There's not all of us were born in sin, and unless we prove to them, and if you have a strong-willed child, oh, God help you. I will pray hard for you. Those are hard children to deal with. But God doesn't make any mistakes. And always remember the children that you have. You know, God gave them to you. And God will give you the wisdom to do with them what God intended. God's got a plan for their life. And God makes no mistakes. Lots of times I used to think with Jim, I'd say, Lord, I know you don't make any mistakes, but I think you did this time. Because he was just a handful every day. And I was telling him on the, we were talking to him on FaceTime, and he was talking about his little girl, Allie. And I said, Jim, just hang on. I said, son, I said, when you turned about 8, 9 years old, that was the first time you could really tell that what we were doing was right. And I said, you calmed down. You still had bad moments, but you weren't bad all the time. It was just, you know, every now and then. So just hang on. So that's my encouragement to you. Be faithful to God. And be faithful to do what God says. Now, it's very easy for us to do good one day and say, I am just so tired of this. I'm just going to take a break from it. I don't care what you do. Just do whatever you want to do. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's not perfection as a parent, but it is direction. You got to have a direction, and you got to be consistent at it. So just hang on and just trust God to help you to do that.
Another thing with discipline is, you say, well, it's not working. Well, anything that goes by the Bible will work. It might work overnight. Might not work over 2 or 3 years. But it does work because God put it in here. And God didn't put it in away space. And the reasons, I wrote some Eli. We all remember Eli in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. It says, for I have told him, thou judgest house forever, for the iniquity which he doeth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Samuel did not restrain his children, and he lost his children. Samuel, that was Eli, Samuel didn't restrain his boys, he lost his boys. David pampered Absalom, made a big baby out of him. Absalom took over the kingdom, run his own father off, took over the kingdom, ended up hanging by his hair, and they speared him in his heart, and he lost his boy just because He did not want to restrain him. Now, like I said, some of this isn't easy. I never enjoyed whipping Jim. Never did. Or Tamara, either one. I never enjoyed it. I mean, I'd look at him and I'd say, son, you know I've got to do this. He'd nod his head. And we had, the way we did it, certain offenses got so many licks. I think the most I give was 4. I've been 3 with a wooden spoon. So the punishment fit the crime. But anyway, I'd say, son, you're going to get 3. He'd nod his head. I'd bend him over the bed. I'd give him whatever. He'd cry and I'd cry. I didn't enjoy that. I did not enjoy whipping my son, and I love more than anything in the world besides her. I love those children, but I had to do it because I did not want to lose my boy to the world or my daughter to the world. All of us remember good King Uzziah, good king. But the thing most of us forget about him is his grandson nailed the temple door shut. He did. Uzziah, great king. But his grandson's daddy dropped the ball. And his grandson turned out an idiot that didn't love God, didn't love the church, and nailed the church house door shut so nobody could go, I don't want that. So if it means I've got to suffer and discipline my children and watch them suffer, and God help me, I'm going to have to do it. I will. I never enjoyed it. But I do think you need to... I mean, Jim would just... Man, I'm with Mama. He'd just stay up at night thinking ways to drive you nuts. And once he ever found the button to push, he had you. He can still push hers. She'll get fired up. Of course, there are a lot of... People think me and Jim's just alike. He's a lot like her. He pushed that button, she gets fired up. And he's done it all his stinking life. And there'd be times I'd think, oh, I'm going to beat him, Aaron. And then I'd get in there and I'd do what, and I never enjoyed it. But you need to make sure that you do it right. And we'll talk about that in a minute. You do it right, but they know why they're getting it and decide about the licks, what they do, how many, all this. Decide all that when they're this little girl's age. Decide early. Talk it over with your wife. Make sure you're in agreement. Got to be in agreement. Ain't no good if you're not. Got to be in agreement together with it. All right, we talked about requirements, rules, restrictions. Then there's repercussions. I tell them to do stuff. We've got rules. We've limited them. They need to realize their actions have consequences. Their decision affects others. And the thing that I learned from my daddy, and I pray Jim learned from me, is that somebody else is in charge. You're not. Daddy's in the house, they're in charge. We'll talk about that probably tonight or tomorrow night. God said, husband of the head of the house, you're in charge. And Jim, 2 or 3, 4-year-old little knothead is not going to run the house. God didn't describe it like that. So they'll learn somebody else is in charge, and it's you. They need to know that. I scared of my daddy. I don't know if Jim's ever been scared of anything. But I scared of daddy. Daddy was big as Jim, or bigger. And he never read any books. He didn't know about sticks or wooden spoons or nothing else. He had a hand about that much bigger than mine. That's what he used. He didn't care what hit you with it. But I learned in that house, if I did what he didn't like, God help me. He was the boss, and he'd help me. When I went in the military, I'd already learned what some of them other idiots didn't know yet, that there was always somebody else that was in charge. My daddy taught me that. They did, so when they told me to do something, I'd done it. But they've got to learn that, and we're the only ones to teach it. You say, preacher, when do you start? There's a verse Proverbs 13:24 that talks about chasing him betimes. That word betimes literally means morning, dawning of the day. So when do you start? When do we start whipping out? I don't really remember. Do you? I'm going to leave that up to y'all. Y'all figure that out. Y'all don't know. But I mean, our little nine-month-old granddaughter, she already, man, she don't like nothing. You're going to know it. She's 9 months old. You tick her off now at 9 months. So, I don't know. That's in your ballpark, not mine. But commence at childhood. And they'll push your limits. Oh, man. They'll put whatever limits and rules you set, they'll push you right to the edge of them things. You say, why do they do that? They're children. You did the same thing. I bet you Jonathan Marks did his mom and daddy the same way his however many younguns they got is doing him. I'll bet you, didn't you, Jonathan? You're lying. You know he did. You did. Pushed them right. If they said, when Jim got his driver's license, I'll never forget it. Had an old Jeep. He took off. The limit had to be home at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. So at exactly 11, here he pulls up. And I said, what you been doing? He said, well, I hung out with a bunch of guys until about 10:30. I said, what'd you do then? He said, oh, I drove my Jeep down there in the parking lot of Pleasant Hill Church and sit. So it was time to come home at 11. I said, what? You sit in the parking lot of a church? He said, I'd be home at 11. Then we'll get home early. Right to the very limit. And they will. Just to see what mom and dad are going to do. And if they can get between y'all, if mom's for whipping, dad's not, or dad's for it, and mom's not, and they sense that, they're pretty smart. They're pretty smart. If they sense that, they'll get right in the middle of that. And which one's not for it? Oh, they'll just cuddle up. Really. So you got to be together. Start early. I will say that. Start early. Correct as a last resort. I'd rebuke, the verse we read, rebuke the rod and rebuke. I'd tell them, I'd say to son, daughter, this is the way it was. You didn't. I give you one more shot. Rebuke, then correction. Last resort. Compassionate. Don't get mad. You may hurt them. Don't get mad. When they're little, you may hurt them. When you get bigger, they, you know. But don't hurt them. Calm down. Have compassion. But let me say this, and please don't take me wrong. Do a complete job. Do it right. If you're going to get them back in the bedroom, and you're going to whip them, do a good job. Make sure they know that there are repercussions for what they did. Make sure. Because they're going to get older. They are. They're going to get older. And they've got to know for sure that daddy and mama meant what they said. I was thinking all this week, when my dad raised me just like we tried to do Jim. And he did a good job. I remember one time I was 16. I didn't have my driver's license. So I was with three other guys, and we was in Greenville, South Carolina, probably 45 minutes from where we lived, from the church house. There's two rules Dad had. You worked, and you went to church. That's it. Worked, went to church. Well, I'm in Greenville, 45 minutes, with these three other idiots. So it dawns on me, oh, Lord, you got to go to church. These guys I was with, they don't go to church. So I look at them, big manly me. I said, hey, you got to get me to 6 Mile. I got to go to church. He said, what? I said, I got to go to church. You know why I had to go to church? Because if I hadn't, oh, Lord. I'm 16. I'm 6'2 at 16. Daddy wouldn't have cared if I was 7 foot tall. So they raced me back to Pickens. That's as far as they'd take me. I go to another friend's house, beat on his door. He's a mess of this. They didn't go to church on Sunday night then. So I bang on Bill's door. I said, Bill, take me to church. I got to go to church. Now, I didn't love God at all. I was lost. I didn't like the church. Didn't like the singing. Didn't like the preacher. I was going because I was scared of Daddy. I'm 16. He did a good job. I knew if I didn't show up, it'd be a sight when he got home. So I got there. I slipped in the back door like a little cat trying to get in there. I slipped in and sat down about 3 rows from the back. And you know that big rascal heard me coming in and turned all the way around and bashed the devil out of me. But it's better than getting tore all to pieces. He said, where's you at? I said, Daddy, I got here. And I did. And I never done that again. Amen. Do a good job. Do a good job. Then be consistent. Don't lie to them. If you look at them and say, look at you, I'm going to tear your fanny up. When you get them home, whip them. Don't lie. Don't lie to them. Do be consistent. Do it right. I wrote this down. It says, some things a child can learn through the seat of his pants before he's 12, that he'll only learn through pain later. You can teach them a lot through the seat of their britches, that when they're 20 years old, they'll learn through a lot of pain, agony, anguish, and heartache. Really. Be consistent. Be propped. Be together. And do it with a view to repentance. Same way God does us. I sin, God chastens me, so I repent, come back to God. I chasten my child, so he'll correct himself and do what's right. You've got to remember Hebrews 12, 7 through 10 are examples for us how God chastens us. We chasten our children. God the Father loved us, and we chasten our children because we love them. I don't want nothing to happen to my children. God gave them to me. They were mine. I did not want to lose my children. Failure to discipline will show up. I'm telling you, it will show up. Your daughter, and I'm not pleased. Thank God I don't know a lot of y'all that well. You pamper her, pet her, give her everything she's ever wanted. When that poor man marries her, God help him. He's got a spoiled, pampered little girl that he's going to have to raise by himself through a lot of anguish, heartache, weeping and wailing because she's had everything she's ever wanted. I'm glad I never had anything, never had much, because I couldn't give much. Jim went to jail. He'd get his own way out. I didn't have money to pay him out. People in the church would pay their young ones out of stuff. I didn't have it to do it, and thank God for it. He said, Daddy. I said, don't daddy me. I got no money. And I didn't. I wasn't lying. And then these good girls that was raised right will get hitched up to some knothead that's been given everything he wanted, been bailed out of every situation he ever got himself in. Every time he got in trouble at school, his mama was down there fussing at the teachers and not whipping him. Some little girl will get that knothead, and she'll be sunk because you didn't whip his hind end when he needed it. Really. And we'll talk about this probably more tomorrow. We took care of our daughter. She's a girl. Take care of girls. I'm sure Chuck took care of Hannah, took care of mine. You look at her wrong, and I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Jim, I didn't take care of himself. That's the way Daddy raised me. Boys take care of themselves. I never went to school at one time. That's because I got mad myself and nothing to do with him. Then go. Take care of yourself. But you've got to rate, you've got to discipline these children. Every book, I read a lot of books before this and during this. And every one of them, without exception, the best one I've read is by Adrian Rogers. And I'll bring it tomorrow night. He takes child raising back to the Ten Commandments and gives 10 successful ways, 10 successful something about the family. Best I've ever read. Tremendous stuff. He said it all stands or falls on discipline. And it does. If you go to every city, you take a kid, put him in the military, first thing they're going to do is discipline him. First thing they'll do is break your will first. Am I right? Yes. First thing, they're going to break your will, and then, Marine, then they'll make a Marine out of you. Adrian Rogers said, and another guy read, said, you got to break their will. I'm not saying that because I don't know how far you got to go. You can't break their spirit. You don't break any child's spirit. But they've got to know you're the boss. Or they'll be disobedient. I had kids in my church would look at their mother and say, shut up to their mother. You know how many times I'd have done that if my daddy heard me? Woo! I'd have been arm's length. Ooh, got me. Ooh, they'll be disobedient. They'll be disrespectful. They'll be disgraceful children because we didn't spike them. It's our fault. It's not theirs. They're just doing what kids will do without restraint. My dad just done like that. And that's it. That's it. Boom. Yes, sir. I did. I ain't lying. Discipline. Any questions? Don't be afraid, please. I got a tie on because I didn't know what else to wear. Really? Aaron. Good question. Good question. As they get older, did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear him?
How does discipline change as a child grows?
Great. Good question. As they grow older, to be perfectly honest with us, probably by 12 or 13, you've instilled in them all the knowledge of good and evil, crime and punishment in them they're going to listen to. I know for sure, from 15 on, you're probably an advisor. A 15-year-old kid, if you hadn't taught him by then, and I'm not, you know, changes. They know as much as you do. It's up to them to do something. That answer there? They're good? Okay. Cut it down, baby. Yeah. You're good.
Okay. We believe that the Word of God is the Word of God and that God's Word will do what it says it will do. And I believe in instilling, making your children memorize Scripture. There were a lot of times with our kids that whipping didn't stop them from doing what they were going to do. And I just believe God enough that I would take the Word of God to my child and as early as 5 years old or 4 years old, and I would sit down with them and say, look, you know, what you need to be doing here is not because Mom and Daddy telling you to do this, but it's God telling you to do this. You know, and not only do I believe that God's Word speaks when my words fail, because I proved that with my kids, it does. But I'm teaching them, I made them memorize scriptures, but not only make them, but we learn them with them. And, you know, it's something that you trust and you know God will do. He said his word would not return void. And there were many times that that we disciplined our children maybe quicker than we should have, and out of anger, and and fell down beside the bed with them and said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I have done this." I said, "I'm sorry. Mama got mad, and I should not have spanked you then. What you did was wrong, you know, but I should not have done it the way I did it, and I want you to forgive me." Your children need to understand that you make mistakes too. And then there were times when I didn't know what to do. And I would kneel down beside them, beside their bed, with them in the bed, and I would pray out loud and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I know that this is your child, and you've made me the mother, but I don't know what to do. And I'm asking you for wisdom." And they got to hear that. And they got to know that that's where I got my instructions from, that Jim and I got our instructions from God. And y'all, your children that are little, and even up until they're 17 or 18 years old, they don't have a relationship with God to the point that they've learned to trust Him and Him only. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, that we are the God to them. You as mom and dad are the only God they see. And if you don't teach them, you know, that this is all from Him, you know, we're trusting Him, they've got to see that. And then when they get saved themselves, you know, and the change takes place,
right,
old things pass away and all things become new. I know, personally, I was raised in church. I never missed church. But I was in college before I even realized that there were verses in the Bible for me. And I saw this happen in both of my children. It kind of dawns on them at some point that they're not living on the faith of a parent, but they're learning it for themselves.
Right.
But up until then, you know, they're looking to you as the God in the house. And it's just like Jim said, the discipline part, a lot of times you're not going to know what to do, but God will show you what to do. Yeah. And everybody's probably tired.
Any more questions? Another thing that Aaron, there's other ways, like she was mentioned, when I didn't get saved, I was 24, mother would, when I was in the military, she'd put a Bible in my duffel bag. And she'd send me tapes. Of course, because y'all don't even remember what kind of tapes I got back in the dark ages. But she'd send me tapes, and I'd play them, and it'd be her and Dad talking to me. And I was in Vietnam, it'd be talking to me. But right in the middle of it, it'd put my brother on singing some gospel song, knowing I'm going to listen to it because he's my brother, for crying out loud. And I'd listen to that. And then I'd come back home, I'd leave, and I don't know how she'd get my duffel bag, son, but she'd get my duffel bag and put a Bible in it and had turned down, stuff like that. But there's other ways to get, I mean, discipline's great, but when they get older, like Aaron said, you got to figure out creative ways to get the gospel to them. Jim come to us, and he said, "Dad," he was playing football at high school, and he said, "Dad, I need a verse of scripture to put in my football shoes." So I went to Isaiah 43, 1, 2, 3, and I give it to him. He'd put it in his sock, you know, on Fridays. And then some of them other guys, black and white, they'd come and say, "We want a verse of scripture, Mr. Roberts." So I'd give it. So there's ways of being creative. If your child don't get saved when he's, you know, a teenager or early 20s, and there's other ways of doing, I guess, what you've instilled in them through discipline, just refine with it in other ways when they get older, if they don't get saved. When they're teenagers, prayerfully will, but if they don't, then there's other ways. The Word of God is it. It's it. They've heard you, and they've heard Mom and Daddy so much, it's that thing. It's that book that'll do it. I mean, Jim loved us. I love my Mom and Daddy, but it was that thing right there that convicted my heart, and I got saved. Go ahead, Robert.
How do you guys, you said we were talking about discipline, how do you keep on being disciplined and still be gracious and still be kind to your kids? Because some people, myself, discipline, I kind of like that thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like grace and that sort of, how do you, did you, was there like, how did you guys, because you guys seem like you guys did it pretty good with your kids.
You have to calm down. That child's got to know that you love them. They've got to. That you're not doing it because you're ticked off at them, you're mad at them, and you're just getting angry with them, you're going to get back at them. And I've done that, Robert. I ain't simply telling that. I've done that. I've got some mad and just, you know, whipped them harder and shouldn't have done it. They've got to know you love them. And the reason you're doing it is for their good. Ain't nothing got nothing to do with you. You're doing it for their good. And if they know, Robert, those little girls, they got to know, they'll know you love them. And with little girls, you can't, I mean, if it's a big old boy, I mean, that's one thing, but little girls, the girls are different. They're different. I mean, Jim, I wailed on Jim at that time. You can't, I'll be, a little girl, you can hurt a little girl quicker. And you can, emotionally, you can hurt a little girl quicker. The bottom line, they've got to know you love them.
And we would also take ours after we spanked them.
Yeah, we'd hug them.
We'd let them cry.
Yeah, let them get over it.
Then we would go in and we would pick them up and put them in our laps and say, okay, you know, this is why we gave you the spanking. We want you to know that you know, are the best ever to us. We're not mad at you because of what you did. We just don't, you know, we're not going to put up with that. Bottom line.
And
hold them in love.
Yeah. And let them cry. I mean, I've seen people whip them, and then they'll just come, and you beat the devil out of them. They're going to cry. And I've looked at mom and dad's looking at them and said, hush, hush. God, you just beat the daylights out of them. Let them get it out. I mean, an hour would be too long. But, you know. But love them. When you get through, love them.
What are some things you guys do with your kids?
Pardon?
To show them that you love them. What are some
I'd get, when Jim was little, I'd just hug him up. Tell him I loved him.
Well, after you spanked him, or yeah, any time?
Just any time.
You play with them. You sit down on the floor and you play with them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You spend time with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did. We spent time with our kids. I saw somebody put on Facebook this week. I can't remember who it was, and said their child was out playing, and he begged Mama to come play. She was thinking about all she had to do, but she went on out and played. And she said, at the end of the day, he looked at her and he says, Mom, it's been the best day. You know, you got to think about what's going to make a difference when you stand before God. Is it going to, I mean, I believe in cleaning house. I do. I believe in teaching your children chores. I believe in that. But I also believe that the cell phone needs to be laid down. I believe that the iPad needs to be laid down. And I believe we need to spend time with our kids without technology.
Yeah.
Our daughter has no technology days in her house. She's got a 13-year-old, 10-year-old, no technology days. And I think you got to do that. You got to eliminate everything else and just focus on your child.
Yeah, your kids want you. They'll ask you for money and car keys and junk like that. They want you. I mean, Lord. If you can coach them in baseball, softball, volleyball, do it. I coached him 4 years in baseball, spent every day with him. This arm ain't worth a dime now for pitching batting practice to a bunch of knotheads playing baseball. I spent time with him when he started playing middle school football. He said, Daddy, you come practice and watch us. I started in middle school. I watched him practice every day in middle school, every day at junior varsity. I watched him every day in the 10th grade, the 11th grade, and the 12th grade. When he made the Shrine Bowl, I went to two practices of that. Where my boy was, I was there. When Tamara was a cheerleader at a Christian school, when she had a game, me and her was there. They won't spend, God spent time with them.
What did you do with Tamara when she was little?
At tea parties. I've drunk tea that didn't exist, ain't no telling how many times. Like that. Sitting on the floor drinking tea. I walked her to school. It's great. I walked her to school.
In Scotland.
I'd walk her to school, and I can't sing. I barely can talk. But she'll remember I walked her to school, and I'd sing on the way there, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. You Make Me Happy. The skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. And I do. And I did. But play, I'd spend boys
and girls
play with them. I mean, go outside, do whatever you can do. Just be where they want you. They don't want to share you with their congregation or your work. They want you. All they're interested in. Them girls want to be around their mom and daddy. They do. I mean, we played. I mean, sure. When Jim would bring boys over, we'd just move, we'd move the furniture back in the living room. And they'd want to wrestle. That's all right. We'll wrestle. I'd say the only rule is if I hit you and you cry, I quit. So we'd wrestle. They'd get on the couch. They'd make me get on the floor. I'd get on the couch. They'd get on the couch. Of course, back then I watched wrestling before it got so bad. I know y'all would never do that. He'd jump off the couch and they'd try to elbow drop me in the belly and all that stuff. And we'd just tear the living room up. But that's memories. I still love that. You know, be with your children. Then when you spank them, they'll know. He's doing this for me. He really, that old man really does love me. Well, I did beat the devil out of me, but there wasn't a day that I lived that I did not know that that big man loved me. And he'd give me anything he had, and he'd stand beside me anywhere, anytime. I knew that. They didn't tell me that. I just knew it. My heart, I knew it. Spend time with them. Love them. They're yours. Everybody else will leave, but your kids are yours. I mean, Brother Cook's boys in the Marines, but that's still Wayne's boy. There will be. This will be 145. They're yours. That's a good question there. Good. Robert, good. Anybody else? Okay. That's all we got, Trent. Thank you, son.